As the end of track moved on west, it was accompanied by a scene that greatly pleased the working men and would later excite Hollywood and the book writers who made epics out of the Union Pacific led by Cecil B. DeMille. Hell on Wheels began at North Platte. The village had grown from almost nothing to 5,000 inhabitants since the track stopped there for the winter of 1866 to 67. Most of the residents were workers waiting for warm weather. The village bulged with gambling dens, houses of prostitution, taverns, music halls, hotels, and an occasional restaurant. These establishments were run by sharks from Chicago mainly, who had put up a small investment, canvas for a tent or for some split lumber, a bar full of liquor, some money for dancers and dealers, a little more here and there. The sharks took in large amounts. Their customers consisted of young men with whatever they had saved from their wages, whether last years or last weeks, with nothing to do, far from home and family constraints. Their chief entertainment came from getting drunk, getting laid, and losing all their money to the gamblers. What the hell, there was nothing else to spend money on, and anyway, they had a place to sleep and eat, and during the working season they would make more money the next morning. Many of them, perhaps most, were young Irishmen. Stephen Vincent Benet wrote about them in his 1935 fable, O'Halloran's Luck. He opened, "They were strong men built the big road, and it was the Irish did it." The grandfather of the protagonist was a young man then, and wild. He could swing a pick all day and dance all night if there was a fiddler handy. He and his buddies had left famine and England's rule behind. He liked the strength and the wildness of it. He'd drink with the thirstiest and fight with the wildest, and that he knew how to do. It was all meat and drink to him. The bare tracks pushing ahead across the bare prairie, and the fussy cough of the wood-burning locomotives, and the cold, blind eyes of a murdered man. They had served in the Union Army for the most part, and were accustomed to the life. Whether many of them, or only a few, or none, suffered from shell shock or other forms of post-combat trauma is not known. But for certain, they were accustomed to pistols and rifles and artillery going off, to losing everything on one roll of the dice, to wounds and death.